You know, sometime we asked, and I asked the question, and we asked God, what is the point? Why these trials? Why this testing? And I think the answer is, the song gives the answer. When I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. And that's taken out of the book of Job. And so that song has been a blessing and encouragement to us, and I hope it can be to you as well. And I hope to be able to sing it a few more times. And they, the little people can sing it very well if they just do. And so you can't always, maybe we'll have to do it a couple times so we can hit on a time when they'll sing. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this privilege to come gather together as believers. Pray for the believers all over the world, the believers in Afghanistan this morning and the turmoil that's happening there. Pray that you would be with them, bless them, your people, your children all over the world. And come into our midst here this morning as we take a look at your word and this scripture, and open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, and we want to see you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you can flip to the book of Job, chapter 2. We won't be doing much reading out of it, but I want to point out a couple of things. And before we start, I want to do a little word study. And so as you saw in the bulletin, maybe I'm going to be speaking about integrity, the integrity of Job. And there's two verses that come out of chapter 2. The one there is in verse 3. I'll read them later. Let's just start off like this, if I can. There's a few words, few related words that I'd like to write up here. I think that's spelled right. Let's see, what would the other one be? We have another one. Now, then we also have the word I'm speaking about. Anyone have any idea what that the first word on the list means? That's kind of the root, or the word that the word integrity comes from. Any of you math teachers or anybody have any idea what that word means? If I spelled it right. Integer. Yeah, it has to do with numbers. What kind of numbers? Something to do with numbers. I guess you would use this in math, probably advanced math or like computer programming or something. Karen? No, anybody else want to take a stab at it? I'm missing somebody? Yeah. There you go. A whole number. And at first I thought it meant even, but no, it doesn't mean even. A whole number. Good job, Kylan. It means, okay, so not a fraction or decimal. This is just a whole number that's not a fraction or a decimal. It's not divided up. It's a whole number. Okay. Integer. Now, probably know what the word Do you ever hear somebody say, you know, people need to integrate into our society? What would you say that means? In your own words, I mean. And yeah, that's true. They come into our society and they mix in to become part of the whole society. Okay, I think I had a definition from, okay, yeah, here would be the dictionary. To form, coordinate, or blend into a functioning whole. So I'll just write that last part. To blend into a functioning whole. So once again, whole, the whole thing. How about integral? Anybody ever use that word? Know what it means? We do have an idea. It's just hard to put it into words sometime, which I had the liberty to look it up. And if you would say it again. Say it again. Yeah, there's a little phrase, I think it in the dictionary, it says essential to completeness. So it's an integral part of, so you would say, talking about some certain thing, and this element of it is an integral part of this, whatever you're talking about. So the dictionary said essential to completeness. So I'll just write that. I mean, you could say it numerous ways. Okay, and then I'll read you the three definitions for the word integrity. So I think we have a pretty good idea what it means, but a firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values. Moral values, firm adherence to that code. And then it says incorruptibility. And then number two would be an unimpaired condition. Number three would be the quality or state of being complete or undivided. So you can kind of see it coming down through there. It talks about a whole number, a functioning whole. This is essential to completeness. And integrity, one of the definitions is the quality or state of being complete or undivided. So that maybe gives a little new slant on that word to you. But we're going to look at this a little bit. So in Job chapter 2, as I mentioned, and I believe I read this the last time a few weeks back. But in verse 3, I talked about the last time I spoke that the Lord and Satan were having this conversation. So we're jumping in the middle of this. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And this is the second time around. This is after all his animals, all his possessions were taken from him and his family was killed. The Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then here's a phrase, and still he holdeth fast to his integrity. So Job had integrity before this happened, and God says, have you noticed he is still holding fast to his integrity? Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. And then the second time, that was God speaking. So we have God's testimony of Job as being, he had these trials. We thought about trials earlier. We had these trials that came, but he was still holding fast to his integrity. Now, verse 9. Well, actually, I'm going to read up to verse 9 so we get what happened to Job, which we know. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, she asked him this question, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. So God said that before this happened to Job's health. And then after, his wife said, are you still going to hold fast? Here it says retain. It's similar. Are you still going to hold fast to your integrity? Just curse God and die. So two people, the Lord essentially, God essentially, I don't know if you want to say bragging, but definitely pointing it out to Satan that my servant is still holding fast to his integrity. And then his wife saying, almost in a mocking way, are you still holding fast to your integrity? And here's what you should do. Curse God and die. So those are the two incidences. Even after Job went through, you know, some of the hardest trials that in his life or that any person could go through. But one thing I wanted you to notice, I thought of this, I think it was this morning or last night. Satan was taking all these things away from Job, rapidly taking them away, removing them. But one thing that he could not take away was Job's integrity. But Job would have had the ability to, he could have obeyed his wife, not retained his integrity and cursed God, but it was essentially in Job's hand or in his power to retain that integrity, and that's what he did. Later in the book, I think it's chapter 27, Job said, as long as I live, I will not give up my integrity. I will not deny my integrity. And by the way, the word integrity is mostly used in the wisdom literature, or does the wisdom literature include Psalm? I don't think it does. I could be wrong there, but it's mostly in Psalm and some in Proverbs and in Job and just a couple other places. David uses, or the Psalm writers use this term. And I found it ironic. I guess what sort of struck me is the idea of completeness and wholeness. Job being in possession of that, even after, like we wrote on the board, even after his body, his possessions, you could say his physical body was less than a whole body. He was not well. But still, in his, let's say, in his spirit, or the integrity that he possessed did not affect his, he did not let his physical conditions and the condition that he found himself in affect his holding fast to his integrity. So he purposed in his heart, I believe he had to, like it says about Daniel, he purposed in his heart. I think Job had to do that to hold fast to his integrity. Now I'd like to tie this in with a story in the New Testament. If you would turn to John chapter 5. We're going to switch gears here a minute and look at when Jesus walk the earth. And I guess one reason I want to look at this is it has the idea of this wholeness. And you probably, John chapter 5, did I mention that? And so when Jesus walked the earth, he would heal the lepers, heal the crippled, heal the blind, people that had all manner of ailments, bowed over, paralyzed, you name it. Okay, and numerous times Jesus would ask them, and I should have maybe checked how many times. In this story it definitely occurs, but Jesus would ask them, do you remember this? Do you want to be whole? And we'll read that, and so you'll see what I'm talking about. So John 5, this was the story here of the everybody laying around this pool. Let's start at the beginning. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And so if you could get a picture of that, I thought about it yesterday. That's actually quite fascinating that there was this pool. You could have went and sat there for hours and observed to see maybe you could catch the time when this was actually happening, this miraculous act that all these less than whole people had all manner of diseases, like it says, were laying by this pool, so quite a sight, just waiting for this water to move or be troubled, like it says. And whoever stepped in first was healed of whatever ailment he had. So it's actually, as I thought about it yesterday, I said, that's kind of fascinating. This was there, and you could have probably went and sat there and just watched and seen if you could be at the proper time. I don't know how often this happened, but it was definitely a real thing, and they knew it. And so they all lay around there waiting, okay? So we'll keep reading. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? So second time it's mentioned. I think the first time it says whoever stepped in the water was made whole of whatever disease he had. So Jesus asked him this question. And if you can imagine, 38 years. Now I am 46, I believe, 46. So from the time I was 8 until now, that's how long he had that infirmity. Or anybody here that's around 40, you could say, till ever since I was 2, I had, you know, it's a long time. My point is, this is a long time. And he's laying there at this pool where these miraculous things happen. And Jesus goes up to him and asks him, you could almost say, sort of an obvious question. And he could have looked at Jesus and said, well, I mean, what? Why do you think I'm here? And it's somewhat interesting that he didn't even answer the question. So let's keep reading. He didn't answer. You know, well, maybe I should say the obvious answer would be, Of course I want to be whole. Yes, I want to be whole. But did he say, yes, I want to be whole? The impotent man in verse 7 answered him. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So instead of answering the question that Jesus asked him, Jesus asked this fairly obvious question. Anyone that's laying there sick for that long would say, of course, I want to be whole. So instead of answering the question, he gives Jesus the reason why up to this point he hasn't been able to make it into the water. And it turns out he was so sick, so disabled, you might say, that he could not ever be the first one into the pool. Only one person got healed, and he would never could make it. So he was in such bad shape that, you know, he saw the moment of healing right in front of him. This is it. Right now I got to get in this water. And he just, impossible. He just could not get himself into the water fast enough. So a real problem for him. But little did he know, you know, I don't think he realized who he was talking to. He didn't know that the miraculous power that healed people when they got into that water was the same miraculous power that was standing right in front of him talking to him. And I don't think he realized that until Jesus said unto him in verse 8, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So in this story, we're thinking about integrity as being wholeness. But it's not, as we saw in the story of Job, it's not wholeness of body, because Job's body was in bad shape. And his whole situation and everything that happened to him was terrible. But he still possessed this wholeness. So I thought I would compare it to this story. Now in this story, you may say, well, the wholeness that it's talking about in this story is obviously physical healing. And I would agree, that's right. When Jesus asked the question, do you want to be made whole? I believe he was talking about physical healing. But there are some other instances in the Bible, and I think maybe we have time to turn to that. I'm just going to flip to Matthew chapter 9. There's other instances in the Bible where Jesus brought about physical healing and spiritual healing at the same time. So one of them is found in Matthew 9. And I'll just read a little bit of this story. So it's some men that brought another man, a paralyzed man, lying on a cot to Jesus. So in verse 1 of chapter 9, Matthew, it says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy. And I thought that was interesting. It doesn't say he saw the man's faith, the sick man's faith. Jesus saw their faith. Now it could include the sick man, but also the men that brought him to Jesus, their faith. They had the faith. This man couldn't get to Jesus on his own, but they said, if we could get our friend to Jesus, we know that he would be healed. So Jesus saw their faith, and with their faith, that condition, Jesus saw their faith and healed this man, their friend. He said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. So They brought him for healing, physical healing of his body. And the first thing Jesus says was, your sins be forgiven you. And now I don't know if they thought that was strange or not. If we read on, we can see a group of people who did think that was strange. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. So this group of people, the scribes, said, this is blasphemy. No, this is blasphemous. Or this man blasphemeth. I got a couple forms of the word going on here. But anyway, and then Jesus said, well, what's easier to say? Your sins be forgiven you? Or rise, take up your bed, and walk. And it seemed like it's for Jesus, it was, I don't know, I thought about this a while, trying to figure out. Jesus did not do this in every case, but he did do this from time to time, where he said, your sins are forgiven you, and then he healed the person. And I don't know if it happened in reverse order in other stories or not. But my point was, Jesus brought physical healing to this man, but before he brought that physical healing, he brought spiritual healing, which forgiveness of sins. And that is what I wanted to point out. I think Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he came, he healed many, many people, but his primary mission was to bring healing, spiritual healing, give himself as the Lamb of God for the sins of the whole world. That was his primary mission, which brings to us wholeness of spirit. So he gave the man wholeness of body, physical healing, but first he gave him wholeness of spirit, spiritual healing. Okay, so let's turn our attention back to Job. Job's life was totally disrupted. He had sores from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He was afflicted, it says. But the testimony of Job, like I pointed out before, that he was still holding fast to his integrity. And using this definition of the word, his wholeness, his completeness. And it seems somewhat ironic, but because of the terrible situation that he found himself in, that this is, I'm less than, the situation I find myself in is terrible, Job could have thought, and maybe sometimes you all think that about your situation. But I guess my point, one thing I want to leave with you this morning is this. Our wholeness or our completeness does not have to depend on our physical body, maybe the condition of it, or our situation that we find ourselves in. Like Job, he was in the worst plight of his life, but his wholeness of spirit did not need to depend on either of those things. And that's actually a hard saying, if you will, for even for me, because I don't know about you all, but when I get, if I have physical ailments, this and that, or find myself in a bad situation, it often affects my wholeness of spirit, if I can say it like that. I let that affect my wholeness of spirit. And I think that is, maybe that's a reflection on maybe me not always possessing integrity like I should, or like sometime we think we have. one thought here. I'll read a verse out of Colossians. Our wholeness, our completeness is found in Christ. Paul to the Colossians. Let me turn to that so I get it right. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in Christ. We are whole in spirit because of Christ. You know, without Christ, you don't even have to look past these doors into the world. I can look into my very own life. Without Christ, I am a messed up individual. You are a messed up individual without Christ. Just look at yourself. Look where you would be without Christ. Look maybe where you have been without Christ. And acknowledge the fact that our completeness, our wholeness is in Christ. And without Christ, we're messed up, for lack of a better. There's all kinds of words you could use. But and just to encourage you, your situation that you find yourself in, you might think this is less than ideal. This is not great. And maybe think of the Christians over in Afghanistan right now. Pretty terrible situation that they find themselves in. Less than ideal plus. But if their wholeness, if their completeness is found in Christ, they can be complete in him. They can maintain their integrity. They can be whole in spirit, although everything around them is flying into pieces, if you will. And so having integrity of character. Now I don't want to drag it out too long. I'm going to get practical. What good does it do us? You know, we can look at the life of Job. We can look, and I can say all the right things, but let's make integrity practical to us in our lives today. Or maybe I could just say, just go home and do that in your own life, but I'm gonna mention a few things. So some evidences, and there could be many things I could have written down, but just three things I think I have. Some evidences of integrity in our lives today. Now, you might look at your life and you say, I think I have it. I think I have integrity. Or I don't think I have it in this area, so here's some evidences. Doing the right thing even though no one sees or will ever know. That's integrity. And so one thing I wrote down, the next time you're tempted to look at something questionable on your phone, on your computer, and you think, you know what? I'm the only one that's ever going to know this. No one's ever going to know. And then based on that, you say, okay, I can do it because no one will ever know. That's not integrity. Okay, just then you probably already knew that. But first of all, God sees you. And secondly, are you okay with, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ knowing what, you know, what you do when no one else that you thought was a secret? And so, you know, like we spoke about in brothers' meeting, I'll just be maybe up front. Would you be okay if I came up to you, or maybe not, would you be okay? This could happen. What if I came, and I think James said it, what if I came up to you and said, to any of you men, and said, have you looked at porn this week? Does that question right now make you kind of a little nervous, or is your life transparent? You know, if you're a man of integrity, you don't need to get, if you're transparent, that shouldn't bother you. Say, that's fine. You can ask me. That's integrity. Another thing I thought of is keeping your word or promises. And, you know, this came pretty close home because, you know, my children ask me a lot of times for this and that, or can we go do this, or can we go do that? Yeah, we can go. We'll do this, or we'll get that. And in my head and in my heart, I think, well, yeah, we are going to do it. We're going to do it sometime. But, do I keep my promises, or do I just keep pushing it off? Or do I actually keep my word and keep my promises? It's my intention to do it, but it doesn't get done. How many of you ever found yourself in that place? That's a weakness I have. And so I'll confess that. Oh, I very well intended to do it, but it's still not done, you know? So I need to be, that's not integrity. Keeping your word is integrity. It's better not to say something, not to promise something, than to promise it and then just keep kicking it down the road. Here's one. Performing your tasks diligently, even though they're menial tasks and nobody's watching. That's maybe for some of you teenagers, and even adults. Just perform your tasks with integrity, even though no one is watching. Or do you say, oh, no one's going to see this, I can do this pretty sloppy? Or, hey, now someone's watching that I want to make an impression on, and so I'm going to do a real good job. That's not integrity. And integrity is about our character, not our reputation. You know, your reputation we often are concerned about our reputation, and your reputation may be smeared by someone spreading a false story about you. Even if your reputation isn't good, if you know in your heart that's not true, if you know in your heart that your character, and you know, and God knows, integrity is about your character, not necessarily about your reputation. Or I should say, maybe be concerned about your character more than your reputation. It's not like I'm trying to say that we should have a bad reputation, but, you know, sometimes it happens for whatever reason, but you know and I know if our character is, if we have integrity in our character. Just a couple closing thoughts. Look around. You don't even have to look very far. Look at the news. Look at our world. Look at the situations. Integrity is... It's many times not present. It's not there. And so if you're a man or a woman of integrity in our society today, you will stand out. It's badly lacking. And soundness of character. And it wrote down, if you possess integrity, you don't fear being transparent about your life, because what's there to hide? You're not trying to cover things up. And so if you or I don't possess that integrity like we should, we can ask God. With the help of God, he can, and choices we make, by the way. You can't just call out to God, not desire in your heart and not make those choices and expect God to answer that prayer. He'll answer it when you're serious about it. Two verses, one from Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Psalm 25, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. And so I'm challenged. I need integrity in my life as we interact in our work, in our families, as we raise our children. Every aspect of our lives, we need that integrity, and we can be whole complete, whole in spirit. And like Colossians says, we are complete in him. And so I'm going to close with that. All right, I thank you all for being here this morning. What was the Sunday school lesson? Hope in the Lord. We sang the song, Rejoice in the Lord. And go out this week and make wise choices and have integrity. And so hope in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. And I hope you were encouraged this morning to challenge to continue to fight the fight. It's not always easy, and it's not saying we're not going to make mistakes. We're not perfect people, but we can, we need that desire to continue on. All right, rise. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, at the close of this service, we pray that you would bless each individual and each home represented here. Help us to rejoice in you this week with the things that come our way. Not always easy, but pray that you would give us the strength to do that. Pray that you would go with each one as they leave. Bless each one this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.